Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, if you read through the newspapers or through your blogs online or listening to different podcasts and so forth, a lot of times you hear that there is a great problem that is taking place, and the problem deals with depression. And this depression seems to be, I think, one of the causes here, or one of the contributing factors anyways, would be due to social media. For some reason, as I read through some of these articles, it seems to indicate that social media is fostering this type of feelings in teens especially. Well, my good friend Jim Holmes made me aware. I was watching one of his posts, and I saw that there's a new book coming out by Shepherd Press. It's part of their Help series. They have a Lifeline Help series, and so they have a number of books in this series. This particular one was called Help, My Teen is Depressed. And the blog out on Shepherd Press website, shepherdpress.com website, says this: if your teen is battling depression, you may be feeling helpless and hopeless. Perhaps you're slowly coming to the realization that you have no idea how to rescue your child from the darkness that he or she is in. Christine Chappell knows from experience that there are no quick and easy solutions, but here she provides biblical wisdom and encouragement to offer hope for the hopeless teen and help for the helpless caregiver. So it's good for both. It's good not only for the one that is struggling, but the one that is helping the one that is struggling. And I think that's a really good approach. Let me tell you just a little bit about Christine. Christine Chappell is an author. She's a writer. She's the host of what's called the Hope and Help podcast. She is passionate about advocating for, one of my passions, biblical one another care and discipleship in the context of the local church. Amen. There's a lot more of that needs to be done. So many times people feel that it's all, you know, kind of top down, that it's pastor to the people in the pew, which is certainly important aspect of the church. But they're also important is that one anothering that is taking place horizontally in the church, and that counseling of one another, the whole idea of nouthetic and so forth, that we are capable or competent to counsel one another from the Word of God. So I love that emphasis on it. Christine blogs regularly at ChristineMChappell.com. She lives right here in the upstate of South Carolina with her husband and three children. Christine, it's a pleasure to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
I really appreciate the invitation. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, great. Great that you've written about this particular subject. Let me ask you a little bit. It says in that blurb that I read that you know about this from experience. Can you develop that a little bit? Tell us a little bit about what your experience in this. Is it with yourself or with a child? Where does your experience come from that's alluded to in that blurb?
Sure. Well, I will say that originally it was myself. I was a depressed teenager in my senior year in high school, was in a car accident and totally wrecked my car in my senior year, and all the devastating effects that happens, you know, when you have an unexpected accident and couldn't play basketball, couldn't go to school. It was just a mess. And out of that trauma came a really significant struggle, and it ended up being something that I would continue to battle with into my adult life. But a struggle with depression as a teenager was also expressed through self-harm, you know, suicidal thinking, panic attacks, just the whole messy gamut of emotional, spiritual struggles. And never did I, in my wildest dreams, though, imagine that that would be something that we might end up having to minister to our child through. And so it did come to fruition by God's providence that our child, our teenager, experienced her own season of really an autoimmune disease that struck out of nowhere and really crippled her for a few months, and all of the devastating effects that she had to miss out on a year of school with her peers. And I also always like to say at this point in the story that I don't share this information without her blessing.
Sure.
You know, I'm very selective about what I do share, but I just want listeners to know and readers to know that, you know, she is aware that I've written this resource and she has cheered me on every step of the way and is just very, you know, grateful that other families might be helped through it.
Mm-hmm.
So in one sense, to answer your question, it is something that I have personally had to walk through as a teenager and as an adult, but then also was in the position to minister to our own child as she was enduring some of the similar things I had walked through previously.
Mm-hmm. Let me start right in the first topic that is mentioned in this little booklet, and I should let the listeners' audience know that these life booklets that are produced by Shepherd Press, these Lifeline booklets, that they're little booklets. You know, it's 64 pages in the book, so it's not real small enough to not enough to delve down into all the different nuance of this issue, obviously, but enough essential information to get you started. So I think people would appreciate knowing that, because sometimes they think, oh, this is an overwhelming subject. You know, how can I don't want to get into a book dealing with great depth. Well, here's a great place to start. 64 pages, very readable, and you can read it in one night. And so I just want to let the listening audience know that. The first, there's a bit of an introduction, but the first topic then covered in the book is understand the experience of depression. So help us to do that. Just whet our appetite a little bit, or give us a little synopsis of what the readers were finding in that particular chapter.
Well, I think that when we're dealing with the depression care of someone we love, we kind of all bring our own worldviews, perhaps our own experiences, the things we've gone through in the past, and maybe our own presumptions about what depression is or what it isn't, what's helpful, what's not helpful. And so right there in the beginning of the booklet, I'm just trying to help establish a biblical worldview of what the experience of depression is like. And I think especially in the church and sometimes through a religious perspective, we can sometimes have the notion that, okay, Christians don't ever experience depression. That's not a Christian thing to experience. Or maybe when it's in dealing with our child, we're thinking that it's a behavioral issue. It's something they can just snap out of, or they just need to make a right choice and then they'll start feeling better. And all of those things, there may be some elements of truth in them, but it can be very unhelpful to have that type of attitude be our initial approach. And so I really wanted people to understand that the experience of depression, even for Christians, is not abnormal. Mm. We can look to biblical narratives and see God's people throughout the whole history of, you know, what the context of the Bible gives us, people who struggle with sorrow, who struggle with death wishes, who, you know, are facing times of despair and uncertainty. And so it's not necessarily abnormal for our children or even for us to experience similar seasons in life when we do feel like those things are happening and life is perhaps uncertain, or we've had a trauma and now we're grieving over that. And so just to kind of dispel the notion that, okay, something abnormal or strange is happening if our child is experiencing depression. You know, I think sometimes we're tempted to think that happiness is a default condition. Mm. But I always like to remember that, you know, that hasn't been the case since the fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once we entered into a world of curse, happiness is something we're striving for, we're working toward, we're laboring and toiling and trying to constantly find things that will pleasure us and satisfy us and provide for us. And so happiness is not a default. In fact, I would argue that, you know, a sadness and despair, those are, as author Daniel Berger would say, just kind of a general reality. I mean, sadness is a reflection of the true and honest assessment of what it is to live in broken life. And so I think that is important. I think another thing too, just real quick, is that we can sometimes believe that depression is not an experience of suffering. Maybe because we think somebody brought it on themselves through sin or bad choices, and that may be the case in some instances. But regardless of what brought it on, it's still an experience of suffering. And when we look to God and how he cares for his children who are walking through that type of suffering, you know, we can really model our care after the way that he interacts with his despairing children.
Mm-hmm. Christine, you mentioned the car crash for you, and I think you used the word trauma a little bit later. Is there often a triggering event that when somebody enters into depression?
Well, I would. I'm not a psychologist, or I would. I don't know that I've, you know, done any kind of study on papers that might report that. But I would. Mm-hmm. I would suggest that wouldn't be surprising, because mm-hmm. trauma, you know, in and of itself, if we're not equipped to see and interpret the things that are happening to us through a biblical worldview, and if someone hasn't discipled us or is not presently discipling us to engage God in the midst of the brokenness and the trauma that we're experiencing, mm-hmm. then of course, regardless of whether we have a biblical view or not, in some instances, life is painful. And there are sad things that happen, and there are accidents, and there's uncertainty. And so in one way or another, we need people to come alongside us to help encourage us through the trauma. And trauma may express itself you know, through depression, and depression, Ed Welch would say, is you know, fundamentally sadness plus anger equals depression. That's an equation of sorts that he has in his book on depression, and I wholeheartedly agree. Now, depression itself as a word can, I think, sometimes function as an umbrella word to where, yes, you're maybe walking through a season of depression, but that has elements of anger, mm-hmm. elements of grief, elements of, you know, loneliness or isolation. And so it's really just, you know, a description of the experience, which has a bunch of different emotional facets to it. Mm. And trauma can certainly trigger or cause us or give us an occasion to experience all of those different elements of depression, and really then end up being tempted to hopelessness because we feel like we can't resolve it in our own strength.
Mm-hmm. I have sat with middle age or later aged men who seem to be going through some sort of depression. We would call it a midlife crisis. But I was mm-hmm. using Lost in the Middle by Paul David Tripp, and you know, some of the concepts that he has in that book, that they've lost their identity. And so their identity was tied into these fleeting things of this world, like their own physical abilities or their ability to get any job they wanted. They were, you know, top in their field and so forth. But now that they're getting older, all of those abilities are not what they used to be. And so I sat with one man who, you know, now he wanted to go out and buy the red sports car and leave his wife, and a Christian man. And I had to mm-hmm. sit there and talk with him about pointing him back to the eternal realities of the gospel and those things that can't be taken away. Do you find that is part of the depression, and certainly part of the solution with those that are depressed, to point them more towards these concrete eternal realities and, you know, the truths and the blessings that are given to us in God's word, and to put more of your eggs in that basket? Is that part of the solution in dealing with people, especially young people that are going through depression?
Well, I think that those truths are certainly part of the conversation. I would say that, you know, part of, I think, a wise approach, especially in handling children, is that we're cognizant of what their level of spiritual maturity is. Because I would say, for the most part, the depressed teen may not have saving faith in Christ. They may not be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so while part of our one another care to our children, especially if they haven't professed faith in Christ, is to evangelize them,
sure.
to share the gospel, to woo them to heaven, to try to offer them a biblical perspective of, you know, why it is they're feeling the way that they're feeling, how God interacts with them in those moments. I think that it can be very easy to be tempted to offer biblical solutions and then just say, here, in your own strength, just change your heart, change what you believe, and you will start to feel better. And again, I think to some degree there's some truth in that, but we have to have also the Holy Spirit needling mm-hmm. that gospel truth into our hearts. We can't change our heart's desires and motivations on our own. And so if we are, you know, lusting after things of this world to try and satisfy us, we're going to be really having a hard time to try to change the trajectory of our desires and our motivations without the Holy Spirit's help. So I think first and foremost, needing to be mindful of our children's spiritual condition. If they are professing in Christ, then of course part of discipleship is, you know, starting to help with the power of the Holy Spirit to, and God's word, of course, to help them see, you know, what it is to have an idol in the heart and what it is to lust after things that can't, you know, eternally satisfy. But I'm not sure that I would hit that right out the gate. I think that that is something that is a conversation that you would work up to. First and foremost, I don't think the child wants to feel like you're trying to fix them, because I don't think that's what God is calling us to. What God is calling us to is to walk alongside them, to disciple them, to encourage them with biblical truth, and to constantly be pointing them to the Redeemer for their hope and their help.
Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Christine Chappell about her latest book entitled Help, My Teen is Depressed. You can get a copy of this book out at shepherdpress.com. That's www.shepherdpress.com. Christine, the second or third chapter in the book is Observe God's Care. Say a little bit about what listeners would find in that particular chapter.
Well, I think one of the most helpful stories in the biblical narrative, and only, you know, the book is short, I can only offer a couple, but if we look to God's care, I think this really helps to kind of demystify how parents in particular can approach caring for a depressed child, because, you know, we want to look to God's standard. I don't want to care for my child based on my own experiences necessarily or my opinions of what's helpful. I want to see how the scriptures inform my care of my child, and so looking to God is, of course, the best way to get that kind of information and that insight. And so when we see God interacting with Elijah in 1 Kings, I believe, and Elijah has a death wish. He basically, you know, he's getting chased down by Jezebel. She says she's going to kill him, and he just had this experience of, you know, elation in terms of God showing himself and raining down fire on the altar. And so Elijah's well aware that God's with him, that God is powerful, that he has this intimacy with the Lord. And yet all it took was his physical weariness and this death threat from Jezebel, and it totally disoriented him. And, you know, so how did God respond to Elijah's despair? He didn't say, Elijah, just snap out of it. What are you thinking? Or he didn't, it wasn't a rebuke. It wasn't an unkind treatment. He was so gracious to Elijah. I mean, he didn't even address any of Elijah's heart issues or spiritual conversation until he first tended to Elijah's physical needs. There was not even a conversation until Elijah was given rest and sustenance, and he was nourished kind of back to reality in a sense. And then God went on a long walk with Elijah, and Elijah was lamenting and pouring out his heart before the Lord, and God was engaging him in conversation. And then God did give him, okay, here's what, you know, here's what we need to do next. You've got a task, and you need to go off and get started on that task. And so just even observing that exchange between God and Elijah, we can see that it's prudent for caregivers or parents to consider their child's physical needs. Are they exhausted? Are they having any time to rest? Are they staying up all night, hours of the night, on their social media and their iPads and working on projects? We need to not overlook the physiological well-being of our children. But then we also, on the flip side, need to not overlook the spiritual care of our children. And I think some of us can be tempted to either one end of the spectrum or the other, but we're body and soul. Both portions of care are important, and I think that we see that outlined very clearly in the exchange between Elijah and the Lord.
That passage of Scripture dealing with the ministry of Christ and what it would be like, prophesied in Isaiah 42, but then recorded for us in the ministry of Christ in Matthew 12. But it speaks about a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. And so the bruised reed, you know, no strength, very sign of weakness and so forth. He doesn't just come along and just snap it off. You know, he props it up, and he puts a support next to it. And this, I always think of the smoking flax. Not only is it not providing any light or heat, it's actually obnoxious, you know, because of the smoke coming off. It's an irritant to the eye and so forth. And he doesn't come along and just wet his fingers, as it were. I know God doesn't have fingers, but wet his fingers fingers and then quench it out. But he blows upon it. He takes just that little spark that's there and he begins to blow upon it and nurture it into a flame and so forth. And so such a beautiful picture of the person and work of Christ, and certainly something that we should emulate in our care of others as well. Do you agree?
Absolutely. That's a wonderful insight. Thank you for sharing that.
You say we only have time really for a couple more here, but let's look at the idea of preparing for common challenges. I like that you put that in there because I find this a lot in the scriptures as we're going through either our study in Peter or in other passages, other books that we've been studying as well, that it a lot of times it tells us ahead of time. To be forewarned is to be forearmed, you know? So prepare for certain types of challenges that are going to come up. What types of challenges do you point to in your book about this subject?
Well, I think for anyone parenting a depressed teen, if it's gotten to the point where you have sought out, you know, a physical examination, there's going to be the talk of medication and whether or not that is something that may be helpful in the situation. And I'm not, you know, I said I'm not a medical doctor. I don't want to offer medical advice necessarily, but just speaking from my own research and my own experience, we really need to do our homework in this area, because a lot of times in the reports that I've been able to find, and I reference some of them in the mini book, there are a lot more risks than benefits specifically for teens taking antidepressants. And so some of those risks include an increase in suicidal ideations and self-harm urges. So if your child is already going into the doctor's office with these types of urgings or thoughts, an antidepressant can be like throwing gas on that fire. And we personally experienced that. And so I have experienced that. So again, I'm not trying to give, you know, hypothetical information. I'm trying to report what I've seen with my own eyes, but then also what medical testing and reports are actually finding. And so that conversation, you really need to do your homework and find out what the benefits are, if any, versus the harm. And a lot of times it's not worth it. Another consideration would be that this season of despondency may very well impact your child's ability to perform at school. And so you need to think about having conversations with school counselors and knowing that we may need to make a special accommodation as we are trying to recover and heal from some of these cognitive, this cognitive impairment, because whether it's just the experience of depression or if your child is on medication, they may be thinking more slowly, they may have a harder time retaining information, they may feel panicked and unable to focus. And so just being aware of that, makes us more sensitive to their experience.
Amen. Christine, time has run away from us, and I want to just give you at least a minute here to just bring this to a conclusion. Speak a little bit to the person either going through depression out there or to a parent that's dealing with a depressed child in particular. Just let me give you a minute or so to do that, and then we'll conclude the broadcast.
Yes, if you are caring for a depressed child, I just want to encourage you that God has not called you to an impossible task. He knew from the moment that child was knit together in the womb, that you were going to be his or her parent to encourage her or him or to walk them through this season. So you are what Paul David Tripp would call a first responder. You are charged with the spiritual soul care of your child. You may not be able to fix their problems. You may not be able to rescue them out of their sorrow. But what you can do is love them through it. You're not called to fix them. You are called to love them. And God, through his scriptures, has given you a model that you can follow so that you don't feel helpless in your ability to help your child, but you feel empowered by the Holy Spirit to answer that call.
Excellent. Christine, thank you so much. Thank you for writing this booklet to start with, but also thank you for taking time out to visit with us for a little bit here on the Knowing the Truth radio program. I'm going to give you a website here again, especially in case you're speaking anytime soon here in the upstate of South Carolina. I think there'll be many people in our listening audience that would be interested in coming to hear you speak more fully on some of these subjects that you deal with on your website and your blog and your podcast as well. But thank you so much for taking the time out to be with us for a few minutes here on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
I really appreciate the opportunity. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
Okay, you too. Okay, that was Christine Chappell, and we were talking about her book, Help, My Teen is Depressed. As I was mentioning, you can find out how to get a copy of this book out at www.shepherdpress.com. That's shepherdpress.com. As I mentioned, they have a whole series of books. We have a number of these that we give away to folks at the church that I pastor. We have a series of them called Lifeline Books. They're just, this particular one is 64 pages long. And so they're not very long, but a good place to start. And then you can go from there to delve down deeper into the subject. And this one, of course, dealing with the subject of depression and specifically the depression in teens. And so you can go to their website, www.shepherdpress.com, to see how you can get a copy of this. Also, I mentioned Christine Chappell's website. She has a separate website. It is ChristineMChappell.com. That's ChristineMChappell.com. And you can go out there. She's the hope of what's called the She's the host of what's called the Hope and Help podcast. So you can go out there and listen to that podcast as well. There's a lot of other helpful information out on that website as well. Information for moms, information for teens, information for a lot of folks. And so go on out there and see what she has available on that website. You know, in all these interviews that I'm doing, I hope that you can see what the consistent theme has been. The answer is found in God's Word. God's Word, right? We're looking for the instruction of God's Word to enable us to be able to do this. And remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." We'll see you next time, right here on Knowing
the Truth. You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Talk, His Radio Network, or the Radio Training Network.